Evening, everyone. Want to welcome everyone to the February 18th, 2016 Design Review Meeting. First item on tonight's agenda is roll call.
Chair Tolini.
I'm here.
The Vice Chair Krasinski.
Here.
Board Member Chong.
Here.
Board Member Cousins.
Yeah.
Board Member Emberson.
Here.
Thank you.
Full house. Next item on the agenda is oral communications. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to bring any matter to our attention that is not on tonight's agenda, now is your opportunity, and I just ask you to limit comments to 3 minutes. Seeing none, we will move on to staff briefing, if any.
Yes, just a note, if anyone's here for the item for 681 Hawthorne Drive, that's been continued to the March 3rd meeting.
Very well. And that leaves two items on tonight's agenda. If anyone, you just mentioned the 681 Hawthorne, right? So the other two are 2225 Vistazo East and 4030 Paradise. So we'll start with Vistazo East. If the applicant wants to come up, the format is we'll give the applicant up to 20 minutes to respond, to make the presentation. We may or may not have some comments or questions. Then we will let members of the public come up and we'll ask them to limit comments to 3 minutes. And then we'll give you up to 5 minutes to come back up just to respond to any of the comments or concerns raised. So the floor is yours whenever you're ready.
Okay,
and please start just by introducing yourself. Thank you.
My name is Scott Couture. I'm the architect for the project. I'm going to kind of start off by talking about, kind of speak to our process of kind of the backstory behind the design. When we first started the project, one of the first things we did is we did a neighborhood outreach. I sent out a letter on September 12th that stated, we sent out to probably, I think it was about 18 to 20 of the neighbors, adjacent neighbors around there, that we were looking at to put together a design proposal for on the property at 2225 Vistazo. The letter went out to mainly, this is the property here. So we sent the letter out to the homes that are up along the ridge here. This is Ridge Road. This is Straits View Drive. We also sent the letter down to the homes that are on the end of Vistazo East and on that little separate connection road on just across the little walking path there. This is also Vistazo East. The letter basically stated that we were going to do a home on this property. We wanted to see if anyone had any concerns. We were open to meeting with some of the neighbors to see the property from their residences, to hear their concerns. We met with probably about a half a dozen residences. I've got a few other phone calls and emails we corresponded with. We took their advice. What we basically heard from them was, don't do Frankovich, don't block the views, and don't do Frankovich. And Frankovich is a design proposal that was done on the property back in 1997. It was about 6,700 square feet, four stories, stepped up the hill. This is sort of the site plan of it. The house is up top here. There's a garage down here and a driveway and a fire truck turnaround. And this is This is what the house looked like. It was not very pleasant. I understand why the neighbors didn't like it. It got denied, it got appealed. And still, I think we're at 19 years later, it still leaves a mark on that neighborhood. I mean, they did not like that. The other request we got was not to widen the road. Right now, the Vistazo East is the very narrow road down in here. Around at the bottom, and it is about 10 feet wide. The residents down there, they like that. They like the fact that it's not an easily accessible road. They did not want to turn around at the bottom, a cul-de-sac at the end, and they certainly did not want the road connected through. Their fear was that it would become a shortcut for the uphill neighbors to all scoot down, drive really fast through the street, down to Paradise Drive. The design process that we used, sort of starting with all that information, on a hillside lot, the fire truck access and the driveway access is always paramount. It's almost the first thing you always have to solve. The house generally becomes the resultant of the access solution, the driveway and the fire truck access solution. On this lot, it's a pretty steep lot. We had only really a few options for the fire truck turnaround. The first was at the base down in here. That would have taken the garage, put it underneath the house, creating an additional story. To do a fire truck turnaround at the base there, it would have required pretty extensive retaining walls. We sort of penciled it out, maybe 12 to 15 feet tall. Certainly would have required barriers. This is very similar to the site plan solution that the Frankovich proposal had on there. Certainly was not very well received. I don't think it's actually a very good solution for that. The other location where the fire truck turnaround seemed to fit fairly reasonably well, and reasonable is always a caveat for a hillside property, is in this corner of the property here. There's an existing acacia trees that spill down the site, so it was a reasonably sheltered portion of the site. It also took advantage of the fact that we could get a driveway swinging up around here and take advantage of that natural sort of Y or T shape of the fire truck turnaround into sort of the curve of the driveway. This happens to be also somewhat parallel to the topography of the grade, so that the part where the fire truck would turn around could be reasonably level, which is an important part for them. So that was obviously kind of the best solution for the fire truck turnaround, was to tuck it up into that corner. The next sort of thing we had to kind of locate from that, we didn't really want to locate the garage at the base here, at the bottom of the site. Again, run into the retaining wall issues and the additional mass from the downhill neighbors. So we were able to tuck the driveway up around and either put a garage here or back into here. On the west property line, put a garage in there. It would basically sit where we have the family room and kitchen proposal. It would work there. You could pull in. We had some difficulties trying to spell out how do you back out and back down the driveway. It would have required extension between the walls on the uphill side. This actually is the deepest and the steepest portion of the site. We found that to do the retaining walls at the 6 feet, we would never really catch up to grade. We kind of ran out of property to the back property line, and it was not a very elegant solution. What we decided to do was to take the garage and tuck it literally into the ground. It's basically a completely underground parking structure. This is actually very similar to this property here. This is 1910. They have a very similar solution on the uphill side. They've got a motor court in between. They've got a garage that backs right into the hillside. It's actually very elegant. You don't see very much of it. And the garage actually becomes, typically hillside property, it becomes negligible from a mass standpoint. It basically makes itself disappear. The other thing by locating the garage here and the motor court back up in here, that the whole parking scenario on hillside property basically disappears from the views of pretty much everyone around there. So it's kind of an elegant solution to lose some of the mass, address the parking, provide plenty of parking in the back out area, but not have that become part of the mass of the visible landscape from off-site. The house layout, I'm kind of getting a little more of that layer, but basically, as I stated earlier, once you've solved, the rational place for the fire truck to run around and the parking and the driveway, the house sort of resolves itself around that. One of the key components of this was the fire department requirements. So, because there is no reasonable fire truck turnaround on the street, fire department was requiring a full fire truck turnaround up in here. They wanted a wider street. This portion of the Stades Arrees is all private. The public portion stops there. Right there is about 18 to 20 feet wide. Right next to that is about 10 feet wide, and all the way down to the base. What the fire department wanted was a 14-foot wide roadway, all the way up to the driveway head. We went through sort of some negotiation process saying if we did 12 feet, would that work? 12 feet minimizes the amount of retaining wall and sort of widening of that the street feels like. What we ended up on was they allowed us to do 12 feet if we put a fire hydrant down right at the base of the driveway. The current existing fire hydrant is right up here. that's what we did. We added a fire hydrant down there, kept the roadway to 12 feet wide, which is somewhat in context with what the neighborhood is looking for. Not a very wide street there, but still provides great access to the fire department down on there. Currently, the road is 10 feet wide. There's no turnaround. There's no fire truck through access. There's no fire hydrant down at this end of the street. Both these parcels currently now are vacant and have lots of sort of openly flammable brush on them. These structures down here in the neighborhood, it's a very sort of risky, difficult place for fire truck access, firefighting. If there's a brush fire up the hill, fire trucks have no way to turn around and point the nose out to escape if the fire sort of overwhelm the site here. So it's basically, currently it's a sort of a difficult, dangerous firefighting situation. What we have now is sort of a 12-foot wide roadway. It's plenty of access for the fire truck to come down. They have a turnaround that they can use in the whole neighborhood. They have certainly, they have a key to the gate down here, so they have full access down in here. And by adding the fire hydrant, now all these homes are within 300 feet of that fire hydrant, and the 300 feet is a magic fire hose.
Excuse me, you'll need to take the microphone with you because they're recording it.
Thanks, John. This is the house itself. The house is essentially, it's basically a two-story structure. From the uphill side and from the west elevation, it's primarily visibly, it's a one-story structure. The lower floor is, it's tucked back into the hillside. The top of it is used for the sort of the outdoor space off the living area above. The upper floor is essentially broken into three pieces. There's a section off to the east, the middle section, and then a section off to the west. They sort of articulate themselves differently to break the scale down. The roof heights are slightly different. There's some overhangs on there to help shelter from the sun, but also to help break the scale of the building down, create some thin lines across there. Got a patio off the front here. Again, this is on top of the bedrooms down below. There's a pool. We've taken the pool. We've tucked it up as close to the house as we can. Provides access from both decks onto the pool, but also we're using the pool as sort of an evaporative cooling device. As the water evaporates off of this, it begins to draw heat or draw cool air from the shelter motor court and the shelter back of the sort of patio area off of the family room. The height of the house most cases well below the 30-foot height limit. This is the kitchen and family area. We put a whole story up on there. There's only one section, which is the front edge of that living room roof, that touches the 30-foot height limit. The rest of it is really well below that. So the home is really pretty well skirting itself across the landscape. This is the garage. This is existing grade. So this is fully and completely buried in the landscape at the top of that completely. The roof has no skylights in it, so there's no uphill glare issues. So this is the view of the home. This is the end of the drivable portion of Estaza East, right before the path, looking up. These trees are existing. These little trees here, these are all the trees we've added on the downhill side of that retaining wall on the driveway. And those begin to create a nice consistent screen up along in here.
this is the view from really kind of the base of, this is Costanza Reese, this is the driveway here. These again are the trees that run along the driveway. These trees are existing. This is a new oak that we're gonna plant here on the uphill side of the driveway. And that's the visibility of the home. There's the main upper roof on there. This is the lower level, the bedrooms downstairs. These are new plants that we're planting. It's a hedge that runs up the side property line. This tree is existing. This is, this home here is existing. This is 5121 Vistaza Luis, is the Helpland property. And this is the visibility of the home from that. Yeah, it's a pretty low profile house, particularly on the top edge. These trees are existing, these trees are existing. We're gonna add these as the screen along here, and these trees are new also to help screen. So this is sort of the perspective from the edge of the property up at 460 Ridge Road, looking down on, onto this property. And then from Straits View, this is looking pretty much closely around 1910 Straits View, looking down on the property. You can see the driveway turnaround. This is the fire truck turnaround area here. The portion that's not part of the driveway, we're gonna get a turf block. We have some uphill retaining walls to accommodate the space that needed on the driveway. These are all stepped up the hill. And here's the home. This is the master bedroom suite. This is the living room roof. There's the motor court here, and that's a garage tucked back into the hillside. And this is the neighboring property, 2151, the Vistaza East. Material palette, we have horizontal cedar siding, limestone tile. The window trim is all black anodized. We have some metal trim along the roof. Again, it's gonna be black. And then the base, we have some concrete. Retaining walls will be horizontally formed board concrete. The idea is just create a fairly sort of simple color palette. Gesturally, it's very horizontal. Clean line, simple detail in, and hopefully it'll blend pretty well into the hillside. This is a landscaping plan. You know, beyond trying to make it look nice, we have a couple of key features in here really to address some of the neighbors' concerns, which is screening. We've got a series of trees that run along the bottom of the, underneath the retaining wall, at the base of the site along the driveway. These are gonna begin to create kind of a screen down from the homes on Vistaza East, or for the people that walk down on Vistaza East. We have a second screen that runs up this western property line. These are hedges that are essentially anywhere from 8 to 4 feet high. The height is really kind of dictated by the desire to create privacy screen between this residence and the one next door, the Halperns. We don't want them too low, we don't want them too high, and that's why we sort of set it for 4 to 8 feet. That seems to be the right height for that. We have a little additional screens up in here. These, again, I think are 6 to 8 feet. And again, that is to create, this is 460 Ridge up in here. And there is a bit of a line of sight between the two properties. We want to create privacy, really from both, from both perspectives. Everyone likes privacy. The final screen we have is really from the rear property, mainly affecting, this is 490 Ridge Road. This property here, which is 480, there's an existing, I think it's a grove of acacias that's pretty thick. So there's a good privacy between these two residences currently. What we've planted in here is we've got a series of 5 trees. These are olive trees. We've got 4 gum trees here. These are all designed to grow about 25 feet high. And we worked with a neighbor up here, Steve Schwartz. We did a section cut through here to determine, 25 feet is the full grown height that'll block the top of the roof from their deck up in here, but won't grow too tall to begin to block the view of entry down the road. They're concerned that they didn't want to have to be able to constantly maintain these trees at a certain height. Along the back here, we got a planted of wax myrtle. This is a 10-foot hedge. Eventually, it'll be a 10-foot hedge that will begin to screen these two properties off really well. We worked with this owner. The original size for these was 24 boxes. These were 15 gallon. These were all 5 gallons. We've worked with the owner. We've upped the size of these that are going to be planted. These will all be 36-inch box, 24-inch box, and these are all going to be 15 gallons. And the idea is that the plants are going to start at a higher height and help provide the screen earlier than they would. These plants up in here, because they're out of the way, once we get water to the site at the beginning of this property, we're going to plant these ahead of construction so that they begin to screen him out, screen the dust and noise out, and really get a, we'll probably get an extra year's growth out of them before the home is completed. So we worked a deal out with Steve Schwartz on that. Kind of back to, just going to wrap this up, back to the original thing, we promised we wouldn't do this, and we didn't. What we did do was this. This is a view from the pool, looking back at the home. We did this. This is the motor court up at the top of the hill. We did this, which is a view outside. This is inside the living room looking out. And we did this, and so this is a view off of the deck. And that's a little view of the Golden Gate Bridge through a spindly little tree here, but this is the bay off the side of it. So that's really the project at hand. I am sort of open to take any questions and or comments.
Does anyone have any questions for the applicant? Cooling from the pool, can you explain that to me?
Yeah, it's a poor man's way of cooling a house.
By the pool, being next to the house.
By the pool. So when water evaporates, it draws out the air, and it draws hot air up and out, and it'll pull cold air. If you've got a cold air source in the back of the home and you've got the doors open, it'll pull the cold air in from the house. Basically, it creates a draft. They do it a lot in like Arizona. They'll put it on.
Yeah, we're not
doing water.
Okay, I understand.
I do it quite a bit.
How about this? What's the difference between bringing the garage under the house, you're going to excavate anyway, or putting it into the hillside? Well, I mean, why do you think that's...
It's really the appearance of it. So if we brought it underneath the house, brought it underneath the house, it would sit underneath here. So we'd have another story right underneath here. And then in front of it, we'd have the driveway infrastructure to get in and to get out. Whether we had the fire truck turn around down there or not, we'd still need the driveway and that, and we'd have an additional story underneath the house.
Okay. That's it. Any other questions for the applicant? I had a couple questions for staff. The monstrosity we keep seeing, did that ever get approved?
That's the one I think we referred to in the staff report. That
the 1997?
Yeah, that was denied, and the appeal to the town council and denied there as well.
Okay. Well, I know I have another question. On the side of the pool, isn't there a huge wall of tile? And I never saw that in any of your renderings. How tall is that?
It is 9 feet tall.
And it's going to be tiled.
The corner of it is 9 feet. Mm. The stairs step up inside. So that's right in here.
Okay.
That's this. There's the pool there. That shows it.
Sorry, my second question for staff is the lot coverage calculation. Can you just refresh me on why it includes the pool as well as the deck area? Is it because it's off of grade by a certain number of feet?
Correct. We're required to include all pools over, I think it's 3 feet above grade.
Okay.
So an in-ground pool on a level lot doesn't count, but if it's perched up, it does.
Okay.
It also includes the full garage.
Okay, even though it's subterranean. Okay, very good. Those are my questions. No, we're going to let you come up next. Any other questions for the applicant?
If I could request that you go back to one of the aerial photographs that shows the neighborhood so that, you know, if the neighbors want to come up,
idea,
we can
right,
kind
so
of indicate where they live in relationship. Thank you.
Okay, so So as the applicant's putting it up to the satellite view, we will open up hearing to members of the public. We will ask that you keep comments to 3 minutes or less. So whoever would like to come up, we do ask that you start with your name and address, and if you're on the map, if you could point to it, that's great. Thanks.
I'm Carol McKegney, and I'm referred to as McKegney, but I'm Carol McKegney, honestly. I have the property adjoining this property, and I've received no contact except when I got Scott's name through Mike Shermer, and I phoned him. I'd like to make it clear that the homes on Vistazo East are all smaller than 4,000 square feet. It's lovely to speak to the people on Ridge Road who have these mega homes, but the people who live on Vistazo East have small homes. I think that 15% allowance is certainly more than adequate to have a home that's 6,000 square feet. I think this is like what I used to call the old rattlesnake trick, when your kids would say, "Mom, can I have a rattlesnake?" And you get all excited and go, "Hell no." And they go, "Oh, we really want a puppy." So I think this would set a precedent to allow a variance, to allow somebody to build bigger. I mean, I think that this is big enough and it's new enough that you can scale it back by 1.3% and still stay within the code. There's no reason not to, and that's really my only objection, other than the lack of communication. And even when presented, nothing was said about what's going to go between my property and this property. You know, you talked about the other places, and the people that are on Ridge Road can see over. I'm next door. So I do have concerns. There are also some live springs in that area. It's funny, I'm a teacher, I'm not nervous in front of my class. I am here. And, you know, he said the three neighbors' concerns were not to widen the road, but to widen the road. So, you know, something is not right there. But that's all. And I guess the only other thing I would say is, when you're putting in a fire truck turnaround, it might be smart to talk to the neighbor on that side and say, would it help you to put a road there, or, you know, have some communication. Kind of doesn't make sense to just do your thing and ignore the other people.
Thanks. Who'd like to go next? Please.
I'm Lauren Stotter. I live at 2244 Vistazo East, which is just to the right of everything that you see here. I've been there since the 60s, and one of the reasons that property has been so delightful to us is because almost all of the people who, and there's really been quite a bit of building and improvement that has gone on in the last 50 years while we've been there. Almost everybody in the neighborhood is very pleased with the nature. It's like being partially out in the country. And where we live, it's a gravel road. And it's just to the right of this area. And I have to say that road is traveled extensively by people with their dogs, by people taking hiking. And I'm very concerned that almost everybody that's made improvements and building there have been within the 3,500 to 4,500 capacity of homes. And I was intrigued with the rejection that took place in 97, where, to sum it all up, they indicated that the mass, bulk, and size of the proposed home was incompatible with the character of the old Tiburon neighborhood. That's the neighborhood that I moved in. That's the neighborhood that's been consistent for the last 50 years that I'm there. And this is is totally different. And I'm somewhat concerned that the, what appears to me to be the, almost everybody that's come in have been in because they love the neighborhood and they want to live there. This is speculative. This is somebody who's coming in and they say, how can we maximize this property so it's big enough to be able to make it a $10 or $20 million property and make a good profit? I don't blame them, but not in the neighborhood that I'm living in. I just think it's unnecessary, and I would suggest that the board take the same position that was taken in 97 for the same reasons. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other public comments?
Good evening, board. Any department? I'm James Bernheisel. I live at 480 Ridge Road. Maybe I should grab this. I find that this property is incredibly steep, as you probably know, and I don't see it being organic to the land, to the slope. So I live here, and when I was looking at it, I saw the story poles. I didn't see any horizontal lines which show the roof line. I just see some sticks up. And then so I've been traveling. I just picked up these designs today. And the first thing that really struck me is I see these solar panels here. I don't know if you find them attractive. I think they're ugly. So they put them up here where they don't have to look at them. But I do. But I don't get the electricity. So since I think they're so wonderful, I would suggest they put them down here where they get to see how beautiful they are. And I don't have to. And then I see up here the very highest point of the property is a rooftop deck and a putting green. That sounds like something you'd have on a really steep lot, doesn't it? So the highest point is this rooftop deck with glass. So that's really the highest point. And that means I'm looking down on chairs, lights, noise. People who come up here, this is the highest point they people can get to look and maybe see the bridge or whatever. So they could be hanging up here. All that noise comes up. And instead of having their deck space here where it's private in front of their house, they're sticking it way up here. And of course, you got to have a putting green. I mean, who can, you know, right on a steep lot, you got to have a putting green. And also that the rooftop thing that I'm careful. And here, all these existing exterior spaces are up high and above, not down below, not out in front of your kitchen or in front of your living spaces. So for those reasons, I don't care. I think the house should be slid down. You know, these houses are down here, but not this one. This was up as high as you could possibly stick it up there. And so for those reasons, I'm not pleased. I find that unacceptable, though. You know, I'm sure it would be nice to have a home. This thing's been vacant for a long time, but that's how I feel about it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry, just one other thing. I looked at the vegetation and these plantings here. I'm writing them down. These say they can grow 50 feet. These say they can grow 30 feet. And these, like 25. No, these were 50, 30, and I guess another 30 feet. So that would be unacceptable if they are allowed to grow to full height. Thank you again.
Okay, thanks. Any other public comments?
I'm Allison Swearns, and I rent on Carol McKamey's property. I have two little kids. I met a couple of you guys today. And I guess I don't own the land, and I spend all of my time on it with my two little kids. And we really have gotten to know the character of the neighborhood and the people in the neighborhood. And there's something really special about the place. The land is really special. The people are really special. me something that's so massive and all about money making, and to me greed is totally removed from what this place has been and what it in my mind should continue to be, because it's unique. You know, save these giant mega mansions for the place where they already exist, but if the people who live here and maintain a relatively modest existence considering the surroundings, it just feels like a big slap in the face to everybody who actually lives here, someone from so far away trying to turn a big profit. And I'm just, I would be disappointed to see it go through, not that I have any clout.
Thanks. Any other public comments?
Good evening. I'm David Peterson, and I live at 2228 Gustavo Street East. Just through the walking path from the paved end of Gustavo East. I've lived in the neighborhood for about 3 years, and there have been a lot of comments about what its character is. We've got two dead-end roads, one of which is gravel. Most people walk on it. There are very few vehicular traffic movements other than for the residents. I think what you have here really is two distinct neighborhoods. You look at it from above here, and it looks all quite close. But the fact is, I think we call it Hill Haven, typically, where you've got ridge and straights view, solidly 100 to 150 feet higher than Vistazo Street's elevation. And then Lyford Cove, which is more Vistazo East, Centro East. The houses up in Hill Haven are like the one that's being proposed here. It's not abnormal to be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square feet, have swimming pools and wine cellars and media rooms. There's nothing like that on Vistazo East. The largest house I can find is 4,600 square feet. The next one's about 4,000, and the vast majority are between 2 and 3. We've got largely a 12-foot wide road paved. It's a private driveway. This is a trophy that's being proposed in a neighborhood that doesn't have any trophies. And it's for speculative reasons for someone to try and sell it to buyers who may well be overseas. This is the kind of thing you'd find in Hong Kong and London on new real estate magazines. The square footage calculations for this property totally ignore, and I know they're supposed to, but they totally ignore the amount of decking. Eyeballing it, I think you've got 2,000 to 3,000 square feet of decking on this property at three levels. 2,000 to 3,000 feet of outdoor space attracts, hey, let's have a party, let's have 100 people over. The road cannot withstand that. There is no parking on this road. I can't see on the drawings that you'd get more than 8 cars off-road on the property itself. It creates issues of noise, that much outdoor space and the people gathering on it. There are already examples in the immediate neighborhood of houses that throw out a huge amount of light at night. When you've got 15-foot ceilings and lights in those ceilings, spotlights coming down, glass on all levels, it's just a giant beacon on the hill. There's two or three of them already, and this would be another one of them. What you've got is an RO2 zone here, but it's served by a road that supports mostly R1 dwellings. And and the impact on the access in and out of Estazo East of a home of this size is, I think, inordinate. I think those are my main concerns. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other public comments? Seeing none, we will bring it back to. Oh, sorry.
About the project, but one, we've been talking about
for public comments? Going once. Okay. Oh, sorry. No. Sorry. Okay, we'll bring it back to the applicant, and I'll ask that you limit your response to 5 minutes. Thanks.
Just to kind of address the developer issue, I am oddly enough in agreement with a lot of the residents that developers are generally unseemly bad people who come to neighborhoods and walk out with a bunch of money. I have had a practice in Marin County for 20 years. I generally don't do a lot of work with developers. Most of my work that I do is for private homeowners. On the occasion that I do work with developers, I interview them as much as they interview me. I want to make sure that a project that I do is sensitive to the neighbors. I need a client that also has the same set of values to it. Developer is obviously going to come in here. They do want to make some money. That is the business that they are in. But I also get homeowner projects that we do, and every project that I do for almost every client is an investment. Everybody needs to, a home is a huge investment of capital put into it. Everyone needs to make an investment out of it. Michael Shore is the owner of the project. He came to me, and I explained to him how it is that I do projects like this. I do, in every project that I do in Marin County and in San Francisco, we do a lot of neighborhood outreach. I try to put myself out there as early as I can and as often as I can, and I've tried to make myself as available. The mailers that I sent out, I only hope they reach the people that they need to reach, but I can only pull the names and addresses off the tax rolls of the property from the property owners. Most of the people do get a hold of me. The ones that don't, my assumption is you're not concerned or you would wait to hear from the public, noticing that the project was going on. So the neighborhood outreach that we have done is try to be as outright and forthcoming as possible, quite frankly. These, the two lots that are up there, I know they've been vacant for a long time. Sometimes in the conscious of the neighborhood, they assume there's open space or a park. They do become part of the area of the neighborhood. But the reality is they are developable lots. Just as every house that's in that neighborhood, once was on a lot that was undeveloped, these two are both undeveloped lots. This one's now being developed. The property owner's rights to do that. It's within the town guidelines and town restrictions to do that. And I believe it is part of a property owner's rights to be able to do that. The design of the home, it is a very expensive site to develop. A lot of it has to do with the site, the infrastructure costs that you have to put into it to accommodate the fire truck turnarounds, the driveway, the fire hydrant, the road widening. The home that's on here is designed to sort of compensate for the cost of the site work. It is a large home. It is just under the allowable. But the way it was designed is we've tried to take the hillside design guidelines, utilize them to the fullest, design this thing, tuck it into the hillside as much as we can, break the massing down as much as we can, minimize the exposure of the house on the downhill side particularly, and use materials and shapes and forms to help take the mass of the building down as much as we can. I think it fits quite nicely in the neighborhood. I do know above us there's some newer homes that are larger for the site. Below us there are some older homes that are smaller. They were built back in the 70s and before. And that is sort of the natural progression of neighborhoods. They're constantly changing in Marin County. They don't really stay the same. Modern homes are bigger than the older homes are. They're designed differently. They're more open. There's more glass. That is sort of the nature of the evolution of a home in Marin County. The home is designed with lots of screen room in there. We've instructed Joseph Huddle, the landscape architect, to screen property as much as we can without creating any view blockage. I know James had gotten up and said there was some 30 to 50 foot tall trees on site. There aren't any of these. I think the tallest tree is 35 feet. It's one of them. The other ones are all well below that, 25 feet below. And they're really designed so that we do not impede on the views of the uphill neighbors. And the uphill neighbors look very clear Joseph put on the planting list, the mature height of all the plants that are in there, so that everyone was clear exactly what the heights would be. The solar panels, I believe, are actually very well hidden on the site. The reason we put them up on the top there is there's a large group of trees that are up on here. I think these are tucked in nicely. We have a landscape screen around the back edge of them. I don't believe they'll be seen from the uphill neighbors, nor from this neighbor, and I don't believe they'll be seen from the downhill neighbors at all. The solar panels are now, as you well know, a requirement for all new construction in the area, and that seemed to be, honestly, the best, most discreet location to put them. On the roof is probably the worst location. On the lower portion of the site, they will be visible. They will be visible from these homes offsite. I think we found the right location. Certainly willing to, if there's a better location, put it there. The construction phase, construction is noisy, it's dirty, it's dusty. There's always street issues, particularly on small streets, tight areas. This project, there's a project going on here that's under construction. I believe it's been under construction for about 2 years. It's a private homeowner who's building it. Going very slow. The framing's been very slow. They were jackhammering up the foundation. I've heard about that a lot from all the neighbors. They said, "How long is this house going to take? The benefit of this being a developer house is that they want to get it done as quickly as they can. So they mobilize very quickly, get everything in, everything out of there. Ideally, they would like to build it in a year. I think that's probably optimistic. A year and a half is probably more likely. But the idea behind it is, from a developer standpoint, is better, and that's actually, you know, in a weird sense, an attribute to the neighborhood to have a developer in there. Michael has constantly, you know, expressed to me and Joe Shearer that he wants to build a high-quality house. He wants to be compassionate with the neighbors, part of the outreach that we did. He is, as a developer, he's kind of a nice guy. I hate to call the developer that, but some of them are. Generally one of the ones that I'll take is the construction phase, I'll get right back to that. This site has one of the few opportunities we don't find in Marin County on construction sites, is it's got this long driveway in here. The first thing we're going to put in, build a retaining wall, we'll backfill, and put in the driveway, and start clearing out all this area. What this means is that this is a great staging area for trucks to come up and on, onto the property, workers to park up in there, stage materials up in there. For a project like this, 12-foot wide roadway in front of it, there's absolutely no parking for any subcontractor, materials, offloading. They can all do it on site. There's no way we can do it on down on the lower part of Vestazio without blocking the street, and I'm sure somewhere in the conditions approval, blocking the street is clearly not allowed. It's certainly not something that we'd want to do.
I had one more question. Has there been any math done to figure out what the net off haul is going to be? I mean, obviously the garage is a lot of excavation.
It's just over 1,000 cubic yards.
Okay. And about how much of the excavation gets kind of filled back into the mound on the downhill side, if you will? The gross numbers or percentage?
It's in the civil site plan. It has those numbers in there.
Yep. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the board. Who would like to start?
Before we get started, I just have a quick question for Dan. Dan, I know the state of California has some stuff about what we can and can't discuss regarding solar panels.
Correct. So basically, you can't discuss solar panels unless they violate some zoning requirement. If they exceeded the height limit, for instance, a typical ground-mounted solar panels would not, and therefore not subject to design review.
So put another way, we have no basis to be able to move or otherwise adjust the solar panels in any way.
Correct.
Okay.
No, what do we want?
Thanks for asking the question.
I'll go. I think it's a gorgeous house. I love this house. It's beautiful, but not for that site. It's maybe, you know, you're trying to relate it up to Ridge Road, and Ridge Road is not Vestasia East. It's a different character neighborhood, and that's why you have neighbors that are up in arms, because they're not Ridge Road. They are Vestasia East. And most of the houses there are smaller. They're less impactful. There's going to be retaining walls anyway. Why the house isn't situated lower on the lot, I can only imagine is due to the fact that you want to capture some views. It's not because of retaining walls, because you have a retaining wall that goes all the way up that driveway, I think. So that's the siding of the house. The windows are massive, so, you know, if you really want to help with the cooling of the house, don't have the windows, 14-foot windows, facing the sun to get sun all day long. That seems like a no-brainer to me. I agree that the road is small, the house is too big, and the windows are huge, and the decking is massive, and it just doesn't fit on Vestasia East. And I really can't make the findings. I think that it would be easy at this stage to reduce the size of the house. I don't feel strongly that putting it at a dead-end street, which it virtually is, that's the last house on that street, and having a garage underneath is going to upset the neighbors any more than having a huge house there is. We can start it off there, but that's my 20 cents worth.
Okay. Thanks, Linda. Sure.
I think, and what I agree with Linda on is most of it, and I do like the design of the house. I think the especially compared to what was presented before. And I do think it's worked into the hillside. I'm not sure if being lower would help and having the garage underneath. I think the colors would help blend into that hillside. And in terms of developer or owner, I mean, we all know it doesn't make any difference to us. I mean, owners become spec builders here all the time. So. We just worry about the neighborhoods and the design itself. This is kind of, excuse me, a transition area where you do have the larger homes up above and the smaller ones down below. And that leads me to the section of the code that talks about compatibility with the neighborhood. And you know, it's an extremely large lot. It's almost an acre. And maxing out the square footage, you know, it is going to loom over all those other houses on Vestasia. I think it's too big, but I certainly wouldn't allow any variances. With an acre, you don't need variances for that. That's easy to get under that. And as Linda said, so some of the larger overhangs have to be included. Well, yeah, but they're shading down to less than what a normal window door height is. It's like 13.6 or 14 feet with glass. So I'm not sympathetic about that being a part of it. My last item is the rooftop deck and the putting green. I think is inappropriate. We've always had trouble with those, and neighbors looking down on that, and what happens with the lights and nighttime activities. My two cents.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. I like the design of the house. The materials. It's a very modern-looking building, and I have sympathy with the owner, because obviously he's got a very large lot and wants to put a large house on it. And I don't think we can say to him, "Oh, you can't have a large house." But I think it has to be within. I wouldn't agree to any variances given how large it is compared to the other houses in the neighborhood. But I think if he wants to build the house up to maximum size, I don't think they're able to stop him from doing that. When I first looked at the driveway design, I thought it was kind of counterintuitive that to run the road all the way around the site. But having looked at the perspectives and the views that they had, it does actually screen itself well, so it actually may be less noticeable what's designed than actually having the traditional down at the lower level where you would actually see all of the space. It would be much more established, much more noticeable from the street. So I think, having seen his presentation, I actually quite like that idea, and I can understand why you want to put the house at the top. There is tremendous amount of external deck, and almost as much external deck as house, so I think there's huge room scope there for cutting that down. I think it's just too much space, and once you do that and start reducing the size of some of the retaining walls, I think you'll be able to cut the mass of the house, the apparent mass of the house down, and I would like to see that. I agree that I think having a deck on the rooftop is going too far as well, but it can be very noticeable there, I'd like to see that just as a flat roof. I went up to and stood on the deck up on 490 Ridge Road, I think, and obviously the house there, you don't really see this property because it's so much lower, even standing right on the front of 490 Ridge Road. It's vacant. There wasn't anyone in it. I just went down onto the deck. You live there. Okay. I couldn't see you. But I was thinking, oh, I hope there's no roof lights on that roof, and there aren't, and I'm very pleased about that. So. But there are a lot of windows, and I would like to see either some screening or some reduction on the windows on the, I assume it's the east end of the house that look across to the vacant lot. And at the moment, that's the master bathroom, where there's a big tub, which is all surrounded by glass, and I don't know if that's going to be frosted, but I'd actually like to see louvers or something if it's going to be that amount of glass to cut down the glare. And maybe some screening to the bedroom 5, which is also looking out that way. So we're not having, you're going to have windows taking advantage of the view looking out, but I'd like to see screening on the windows looking across to the adjacent sites. And I think the solar panels are probably in the best place, actually, to be honest. They're the most screened that could be, given that we have to have them.
After going out to see the lot, I guess I came a lot more prepared to be supportive of the project, but I always come with an open mind, and it seemed like there was a big list of concerns. I mean, to be honest, I was even potentially supportive of the lot coverage variance just based on a lot of the one staff's comment about like having a hillside house like this having some outdoor space, and the way that certain things like the tucked under driveway doesn't count toward lot coverage. That said, I made the laundry list of what I heard from the neighbors, and you can quickly cross out stuff like solar panels, or we're not the building department, so we can't really comment on stuff having to do with the actual building of it. I wholeheartedly agree with John. We don't treat we treat everybody the same, and what's in the best interest of the neighborhood. So a lot of the concerns around being the developer doesn't really play with me. I guess I kind of hone in a little bit more on the too much outdoor space, because it seems like that's what's bumping over the lot coverage, the putting green and rooftop. I think I agree with the comments both by the neighbors and the fellow floor members. Vegetation height, I'd actually be curious to hear maybe some of the architect's opinions on if those are the right plantings for that area. Which leaves us to road widening, which really isn't our purview, that's more the fire department. And then I guess probably the biggest one was, does it fundamentally change the character of the neighborhood? And I think I tend to look at, I mean, it's a large lot. It was designed to have a larger home. To say that, hey, it needs to be a small 2,000 square foot home, that sits toward the bottom of the lot, I don't think is really what, you know, a lot that size is meant to have on it, right? And pushing it uphill more toward the homes on Ridge, I don't think necessarily, you know, for me, it doesn't really change. I mean, that area of town is one of my favorites. I regularly walk, run through there, hike through there, take the dog and family through there. I don't think that the project, kind of where it's located and what they're looking to do, really fundamentally changes the character of the cuteness of the Stasso. I don't think it necessarily, Linda's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I guess I'd also agree that I think that it's a beautiful design home, but given kind of some of the stuff that's been gone over, I think there's definitely some guidance that we can give to the applicant to go back and see if there's another version that helps us maybe get our head around what I'm hearing is maybe not support. But Mike, you're okay. Lost again.
So, you know, it sounds like, you know, most everything that's been tossed out there so far is kind of striking a certain chord. You know, in terms of my own 2 cents or 20 cents or however many cents we're up to, you know, starting with the big picture on the precedent and character, you have a very odd situation here because, you know, you have totally different zoning overlays on directly opposite sides of the streets. And when you look at the lot sizes, the lots on the uphill side are multiples of what is immediately across the street. Close to an acre versus what I'm guessing is 6,800, 7,200, you know, relatively small R1 lots. And you're going to have different houses on them. I mean, there's going to, I think, inherently be, I think, some inconsistency. The only property that has been developed on the uphill side, as far as I can tell, within my lifetime, with any sort of new construction, is a very large house. It is absolutely a trophy house. It doesn't have, it has a different style. It's kind of a Hamptons-esque kind of home. So what you see is a lot of stonework as opposed to glazing. That's not to say there's a shortage of glazing, but it's a trophy home, just of a different ilk. So, look, this is a huge lot. This is going to be a trophy home in one form or another. I do think there's a lot we can do to make it a little bit more modest and fit in a little better. I think the comments that I've heard I'm almost entirely aligned with. You know, I can't support a lot coverage variance when there's, to me, an incredible amount of outdoor space, especially given the topography. You know, another thing that wasn't really mentioned too much, I think looming came up, but, you know, another thing that's getting maxed out, at least at a portion of the roof, is the roof height. You know, the full 30 feet above grade, in addition to, you know, the lot coverage variance, in addition to the floor area ratio. So, you know, I especially with the, you know, gray home style, you know, overhangs on the roof, that I think were at least indirectly alluded to as one of the homes that looms over the neighborhood. I think that there, you know, is a lot of potential to kind of replicate that in a actually slightly more modest way here. So I too would like to see, I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, bringing the height of the roof down a little bit, at least on the higher portions, to just help make this a little bit more modest. I think that louvering or you know, cutting down on a little bit of glazing on that eastern side, I think, is also a good idea. The roof deck, for me, doesn't work. The only other concern I had, and the road widening, I'm not even sure that's something we really have much to consider, but 12 feet sounds incredibly modest to me and is, in my mind, part of a public safety upgrade as it is. And it's not going to make the road any more passable or parkable. So the only other thing that I had to add, be the last of my 14 cents, is, you know, when we see, or when I see, this mounding up of earth, and where the pool, and like the bottom of a pool, like, and I think it's A3.1, where the bottom of the pool is above the existing grade, so there's just like a pool up in the air, you know, kind of mounded up there. Yeah, well, you know, to me, and the fact that that's causing it to get, you know, pulled into lock coverage and all this other stuff, there's a balance to be struck, right? I mean, on the one hand, it'd be great to minimize some of the off-haul, which is going to be tremendous, just like the home two doors down. when that got excavated, was tremendous offfall. But at the same time, you know, it means it's even more incredibly artificial, which I think it's been said before that, well, guess what? All the hillside homes in Tiburon tend to be really artificial things. So maybe that just is what it is, but I also just didn't care for, you know, how much earth was just mounded up and, you know, kind of having this pool, you know, so far above the grade, the natural grade, which is there. So, you know, I think we've all said similar things, obviously, with, you know, a few different specific points here and there. Obviously, I think we're all unanimously leaning towards a continuance to address, all the substantial, all the concerns raised. So, I guess, sorry, Brian, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because I think there's some stuff that the applicant would probably have pretty clear guidance around the variance, the outdoor spaces, the rooftop deck, stuff like that. There's a few things that were just said by one person and not the, so I was just wondering what the consensus was. Does everybody agree with Mike's comment around the pool being elevated?
Yeah, okay. You brought up something that I forgot.
Glazing that was mentioned by one of the two. Does anybody else?
Gordon mentioned glazing as well.
Glazing on the east end.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's huge.
So, all right.
Yeah, even on the 14-foot wall of glass that people will be seeing as they come by there. I'd like to say something else too, and that's that one, Gordon, we do have the ability to say you can't build to the maximum.
Thank you. We do, right.
And
we
it has to do,
do.
And it states in the code that this is not a goal for everyone to try to meet. It's the maximum. And if it doesn't fit in the neighborhood, we have every right to say it doesn't fit in the neighborhood. That happened.
We're here to protect people's neighborhoods.
But I agree with Michael. if you look at these like five lots you can see on this diagram, they're bigger than the Ridge Road lots. They're bigger than and they're four times the size of the other Vistasia East lots.
Well,
they are that big, and they will eventually all have big houses on.
Well,
sure, and that'll be the character.
I mean,
of the street.
It happened in my neighborhood where there's bigger lots, and they couldn't build to the maximum. And it's because the rest of the houses were not. It's a very distinctive neighborhood.
So
and you know, I'm not saying that it has to be 2,000 or, but
neither.
The fact that the reason for the at least not giving the variance is the fact that, well, if they want that outdoor space, they can reduce the indoor space. I don't care. It's just too much. And it's.
I think what we're collectively saying is that getting under the lot coverage variance is a starting point. But
yes,
that
a starting point.
But that stopping there is not going to address the other concerns that at least the majority,
right.
Perhaps even all of the board has raised.
Those overhangs create a lot of what we call square footage. And I don't want to see the overhangs just pulled back and said, here, we're under square footage now, for example. That right.
The other two things really quick was colors. John, you brought up colors. Does anybody else have any?
I like the
color. I like the look of it.
All right, so John was...
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. All
right, and then the other one was the roof over at the... You mentioned going the roof that goes up and touches the 30-foot.
That
didn't personally bother me too much, but I...
I think it bothered the majority of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So... that's the guidance. I think the applicant's going to have some work to do. Dan, did you want to make a suggestion to see if a potential date might work in terms of the continuance?
Normally we would go to the March 17th meeting. It'd either be that or the next meeting after that's clear out to April 7th at that point. So we'd probably recommend March 17th.
Okay. Does that work for the applicant to come back March 17th?
I make a motion that we continue the hearing on 2225 Vistasia East to the March 17th meeting.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All against? None. So with that, we'll take a two-minute pause to move on to the next agenda item so that the applicant can take down their stuff and so the vast majority of people here can leave. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Okay, I'm going to ask one more time. If anyone here for Vistazo could please leave, you're making noise, and we have a public meeting to conduct and finish. So please take off. Thank you.
You're welcome to stay. All right. Chop liver.
You should have felt slighted that they left.
Okay. No, it's okay. No.
Hi, I'm Taylor Lemke, the property owner of 4030 Paradise. We're with Pretty and Yaku, our architect from YA Studio. Had the pleasure of meeting a couple of you tonight, and they're going to give a detailed presentation of what we have planned. So, turn it over.
Thanks.
Yaku Askew with YA Studio. I'm just going to kind of walk through a couple of the points. I think about a while ago, Taylor came up to us and asked us to provide some updates to his residence and provide some improvements as well, some additions. What we wanted to do, I think, from the site plans, as we're looking at them, was try and be respectful to the existing house as much as we could. We didn't want to expand too much beyond the coverage, but we wanted to make sure that we can adapt the house to his needs and his family's needs. This is the footprint of the existing residence. One of the things to notice is it is a fairly steep site. It's also a fairly large site, so there is a fair amount of overall coverage. But really, the buildable area is just this top section here. We did want to provide some additional outdoor space, as it's fairly sloped down in most of the directions and not very usable for the family. So in the remodeled, the proposed addition and remodel, we did provide some additional outdoor space. We have a pool which terraces down to meet into the landscaping, and we are providing a few more sort of pocket outdoor spaces. This is just a blow up of the site plan as proposed. So this is an existing structure where we have the garage and an art studio, the main circulation down to the house, and the main entry into the residence. We did provide a little bit better outdoor space here. It's somewhat usable now, but we wanted to basically bury an addition down here. So we're staying basically below the main residence with this new addition. So that provides two things. One is it gives us a little bit better open space off the main living area, as well as provide some additional square footage for the residents below. But I think these are the most telling shots of kind of how we approach this design. Again, this is the existing garage and our studio, and then the main residence here. One thing we want to do is this area is moderately excavated currently, and we basically focus our addition in this area here. So this is where the majority of our addition and remodel is. There is a pool and deck out here, but what we could do was basically remodel the residence, add it to this new addition, and be fairly I think respectful of the existing structure. On to the next slide. And again, on the other side, you can see that same sort of strategy. The main structure of the house is pretty much the same. We did update and modernize the residence, improve the design, and then also the bulk of the addition is down here with the pool. Again, all of our retaining walls basically terrace down into the existing grade. It is a fairly steep site, so it was a challenge for sure. We definitely wanted to keep everything as narrow as we could, but we tried to create a series of you know, fairly narrow gestures as we stepped down the hill. So. In terms of the material palette, we kept it fairly simple, a combination of cement plaster. We do have some board form concrete on some of the landscape retaining walls. We're looking at a combination of a porcelain tile and wood decking on some of the outdoor spaces. White ballast roof. We have some glass guardrails and some concrete pavers and landscaping. We are looking at a small strip of vegetated area on the roof. As you approach the house from the uphill side, we wanted to basically mitigate a little bit of the impact of the roof. And then some a few shading devices, aluminum windows, glass doors. kind of go through a couple of the images of the residence. So again, the existing residence basically resides here. What we did do is add an additional wing off to the side here, so under the open space there, and basically made that a little bit more usable as an outdoor space that opens off into the living area. Provide some decking at this lower level, and then again, we wanted to terrace everything down to meet the landscaping in as appropriate as way as we could. You can sort of see how we step down the massing as we get down the hill. It terraces down. We didn't want to have any 30-foot walls. We wanted it to step down along with the topography. This, again, the existing residence. This is the only addition we have at the main level, and then everything else is tucked down below here, the pool and deck area. And then a sort of a detailed shot, again, showing how we took great effort to sort of sculpt that building and keep it as low profile as we could, trying to work with the terrain and still provide the Lembeys some good outdoor usable space. From the opposite side, again, you see that same sort of strategy of stepping the building down with the hillside, a lot of smaller moves, a lot of smaller gestures, keeping the scale of the house down to a modest feeling, really trying to bring the landscaping into the design of the residence. And this is a little bit of a detail shot. So our overhangs aren't too excessive, but we wanted to get a little bit of coverage on the southern exposure. We are providing some horizontal shading as well. But I think in general, it's a fairly small scale end result, but I think it really meets our client's needs. So I think that's the extent of our presentation, and we can be available for any questions. And I think, actually, Taylor, maybe it's worth just mentioning the email that we sent from the neighbor.
We met with the members of the HOA board as well as the neighbors to the right and left of the house some time ago. I had a baby about a year ago, so we kind of...
It's a blur.
It's what?
It's a blur.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of back. But one of the neighbors, the Dorseys, had some comments about fencing and the decks, and so we're going to meet on March 9th to discuss those on site. He's out of town.
Any other, sorry, are there any other questions for the applicant, or did the applicant have anything else? Okay, thanks. We'll open it up to members of the public. I don't think there are any, so we'll close that. The applicant has up to 5 minutes to respond to comments that were made. We'll close that, and there's still no other questions for the applicant or the board, right? So we'll bring it back, or sorry, for staff. So we'll bring it back to the board.
I thought that this was just a great design because it brought a house that was stuck in the 20th century, 1960 or 70, up into the 21st century, and it's just so cool. I really like the house. I like that they didn't go out. They went underneath, which does involve a little excavation, but I think in this context, it makes perfect sense to go under the house. It's a thoughtful design, and I like it, and I'm behind it.
Okay. Thanks, Linda. Somebody.
I went out and visited the site. It's kind of interesting because if you just compare, I mean, the lot size on this project is 28,000 square feet versus the last one was 41,000. But the way that all the mature trees and the way it's kind of hidden back there, I mean, mature vegetation really can make the difference in what you can put in without it having a lot of effect on the neighbors. I agree. It's a nice design. I think it's well done. I agree with staff being able to make the floor area exceptions. Their comments around that. All in all, I think it'd be a pretty easy project for me to get behind. I did kind of look at it with the eye of like, hey, could this, you know, have gone in a different area because it does kind of pull the house a little bit more further out from the hillside. Same thing with the pool. But if you kind of look at the space that would be the area tucked between the hillside and the home, it doesn't seem like it really makes much sense there. I mean, there's some beautiful mature trees that would potentially have to be, you know, cut or trimmed back or something like that. I think that the logical place is pushing it out and capturing a little bit more view and kind of thing. So, easy one for me to support.
Okay. John or Gordon?
I agree with what they said.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I agree too. I think, you know, and on the pool, I mean, being able to take some of that dirt that's coming from underneath, I think it's a great design. I like it.
Yeah, thoroughly in agreement. Again, I mean, this is another pool above grade, but to me, it's this is a lot more modest. And the fact that there's, you know, I think a thoughtful series of retaining walls to soften any sort of impact that any of the retaining walls is going to have. Is going to do a really nice job. I really like the project and think it looks good as is. My other question is whether or not, I didn't recall what, if anything, was proposed with respect to fences as part of this application. Do we need to say anything with respect to condition of approval to work with the neighbors and staff on choosing an appropriate fence?
Yeah, especially if the fence is taller than 42 inches.
Okay.
And they wanted it done quicker or something, right? They were, that nothing had happened or what? Is that true? No?
Not sure.
Sorry, different application.
Yeah, sir, would you mind just clarifying and just turn on the microphone just because we record everything?
So I don't think anything was necessarily discussed in terms of height. I think there are some concerns about privacy and whether or not that be done with landscape screening or fence is yet to be determined and discussed, but I think there was, you know, I think both parties felt like it was appropriate to bring in, and I think we'll recognize planning's observation that we need to bring it back before the department if we go above 42 inches.
Basically, it's not going to be part of this application. They can come back, and if they come up with the design on that side that the neighbors approve of, we just do an over-the-counter.
So
approval.
We don't have to make it a condition.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you for noting on that. Go ahead.
On 4030 Paradise Drive, I make a motion, find that the proposal is exempt from, I didn't have to do that, did I?
Yes,
it's exempt from CEQA?
Yes, you didn't need to say that.
And that it is approved as presented.
With the attached conditions.
With the attached conditions.
Seconded? I think John tried to second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? None. With that, 4030 Paradise Drive is approved. Last item on tonight's agenda is.
Do you want your plans?
Is adoption of the minutes from the February 4th meeting. Did anyone have any comments?
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Oh, is that the right? I didn't find anything.
Okay. Who would like to make a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the February 4th meeting of the Tiburon Design Review Board as presented.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? Done. One abstention. Good night.
Thank you.